Soon the familiar pounding started up. This upgraded into what seemed like the blows of a gigantic fist pounding on the house. The force of the blows made the whole building shake. Ed worried whether the structural integrity of the home could withstand much more abuse. Over the better part of an hour, the phenomena grew in power and intensity, with all the mad sounds going on at once. Suddenly, terrified yells erupted from Ted and Ellen's bedroom. When Ed reached them, over the better part of an hour, the phenomena grew in power and intensity with all the mad sounds going on at once. Suddenly, terrified yells erupted from Ted and Ellen's bedroom. When Ed reached them, you really don't want me to go on, do you? Do you realize I came into two big cities just cold? There are people who turned on think that I'm a nut. I mean, I'm getting insecure. I got a couple of employees looking at me like they want to kill me. Before you start getting too violent with me, you better be sure you know how to handle demons when they occur, because you might have to call on my help. Takes more than a football helmet to handle a demon. I don't believe any of this. But by nature, I don't either. Is this story so far out I'm going to totally lose my audience and be canceled out of the cities as some freako? You all going to leave because I'm reading this story? I need a little building up right now. You say, you doing that on purpose? I sure am. Over the better part of an hour, the phenomena grew in power and intensity with all the mad sounds going on all at once. Suddenly, terrified yells erupted from Ted and Ellen's bedroom. Fooled you, didn't I? When Ed reached them, the hysterical family claimed that some sort of ultra-black figure had manifested and begun to move in the room. Disgusted with the abuse being heaped on the family, Ed decided to go ahead and challenge whatever was in the house to reveal its identity. Sending Brian into the bedroom to stay with Lorraine, he had Patty and her parents sit on the bed. Then he traced a large cross in the air with his right hand. You say, you believe that's necessary? No, I don't. It's the ancient exorcism rite of the Catholic Church. I don't think it's necessary. But if it helps, go ahead and do it. I think the cannon he fired is what comes next. in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I demand that you reveal your identity in the name of Jesus Christ. There's the key. Are you a demonic spirit? With that, the double bed with the three Donovans on it rose eerily into the air and great God Zagronsky. In the name of Jesus Christ, are you a demonic spirit? With that, the double bed with the three Donovans on it rose eerily in the air and are you grown up enough for me to continue?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. You want me to continue?
Yes, sir.
In the name of Jesus Christ, are you a demonic spirit? With that, the double bed, you notice with the cross it didn't do it. With the long-winded prelude it didn't do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, are you a demonic spirit? With that, the double bed with the three Donovans on it rose eerily into the air and I am reading as Ed and Lorraine Warren arrive at the Donovan house. They've gone through a night of terror and they've witnessed for themselves what the family goes through. They've gone to bed with their clothes on in Brian's bedroom. The phenomena rose in strength, beginning with grunnings and other bestial noises, followed by blood-curdling screams. Over the better part of an hour, the phenomena grew in power and intensity with all the mad sounds going on at once, when suddenly, terrified yells erupted from Ted and Ellen's bedroom, and when Ed reached them, the hysterical family claimed that some sort of ultra-black figure had manifested and begun to move in the room. Disgusted with the abuse being heaped on the family, Ed decided to go ahead and challenge whatever was in the house to reveal its identity. Now, can I go on you folks in across the nation and in Flint and Bay City and Saginaw and Augusta and Fayetteville and Richmond and Norfolk? And Dallas and Fort Worth and Memphis. Your appraisal that I'm not a nut because I'm reading some modern indications of supernatural forces which support what the Bible says about supernatural forces. Do I have to explain to all the California San Diego audience or can I just go ahead? Disgusted with the abuse being heaped on the family, Ed decided to go ahead and challenge whatever was in that house to reveal its identity. Sending Brian into the bedroom to stay with Lorraine, he had Patty and her parents sit on the bed. Now, just in case you haven't tuned in, this is a book about the work of a Catholic layperson who's a demonologist, even trains priests in the ancient rite of exorcism or the methods to be involved. They were called to the Amityville horror situation. They were the experts called in, called to West Point by the general in command. Years of dealing with the preternatural, as they call it. The Donovan house erupted in horror when a 19-year-old daughter, using a Ouija board, asked, "Is there anybody there, a spirit?" Begin to communicate with her. She then asked, after a long period of nightly communication, would he manifest himself, and the house turned into a horror chamber. When they left, the horrors went with them to a motel or elsewhere. In despair, after a month, more than a month of this, a monk at a rectory across the way directed them to Ed and Lorraine Warren. Ed and Lorraine Warren flew down, or up, to the house in Connecticut, spent the night, encountered these horrors, have had questioning sessions with the family, uncovered the fact of Patty's Ouija board experience, and now are challenging the demon presence. Disgusted with the abuse being heaped on the family, Ed decided to go ahead and challenge whatever was in the house. I thought I'd summarize that rather quickly. I can do it when it's necessary. That proves how much I love Dallas, Fort Worth, Campbellsville, and Memphis, doesn't it? I'm trying to get on with this. Disgusted with the abuse being heaped on the family, Ed decided to go ahead and challenge whatever was in the house to reveal its identity. Sending Brian into the bedroom to stay with Lorraine, he had Patty and her parents sit on the bed. Then he traced a large cross in the air with his right hand. Apparently that didn't, though it's an ancient part of the Catholic rite, didn't do too much. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I demand that you reveal your identity. Don't you remember in the New Testament when some people challenged some demon forces and they said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? They're not always ready to lay down and kiss your feet. But here is the magic formula. In the name of Jesus Christ, are you a demonic spirit? With that, the double bed with the three Donovans on it rose eerily into the air, and that's where we were, wasn't it? In the name of Jesus Christ, he cried, are you a demonic spirit? With that, the double bed with the three Donovans on it rose eerily into the air. Can you turn some more lights out? Can you make it darker? I'll leave it alone. I don't want anybody getting scared in here. With that, the double bed with the three Donovans on it rose eerily into the air. And you do want me to continue? Boy, I said I'd try to finish. With that, the double bed with the three Donovans on it rose eerily into the air and remained suspended. That's what I've been doing to you. Remaining your suspension. With that, the double bed with the three Donovans on it rose eerily into the air and remained suspended some 2 feet off the floor. Suddenly, the dresser careened across the room as though on rollers. Ed managed to step out of the way just before it smashed into the wall, whereupon the double bed crashed to the floor. At the same time, Brian lay quietly sobbing in the other twin bed in his own bedroom, or on the other twin bed. When Lorraine looked over to comfort the young teenager, to her astonishment, Brian... This is just too far out. I'm going to lose all the confidence and credibility I've built up over these many years. There won't be anybody in the King's House Sunday. Will there? You going to be there? When Lorraine looked over to comfort the young teenager, to her astonishment, Brian was levitating some 2 feet above the bed. A second later, she watched as the boy was propelled with tremendous force against the floor wall 5 feet away. The boy then fell to the floor in a crumpled heap. Lorraine leaped off the bed, switched on the light as the others entered the bedroom. Dazed and trembling, Brian had suffered no broken bones, but his face and chest were bruised and swollen. The sign Ed asked for had been given. The demonic was indeed at work. This was made even clearer the next morning after the sun came up when Lorraine looked outside the bedroom window. Upside down, stuck in an unmelted pile of snow, was the foot-long walnut crucifix that had been a fixture in Ted and Ellen's bedroom from the day they were married. You say, are these relics worth any, you know, does that mean they're... Satan attacks you at your faith level, whatever the object is. If you think it protects you against him, he's going to attack it. obviously the crucifix didn't have much power in itself. That leaks out of the story. Obviously the clerical collar wasn't enough to frighten him off. That leaked out when Jason gave up the ghost and went to the rectory. On Friday, am I boring you? April 19th. I wish I could be on, you know, I could probably be on all night in Dallas, Fort Worth, if I just had a little help. On Friday, April 19th, as Ed and Lorraine continued their stay with the Donovans, the phenomena became more and more a display of preternatural power. Obscenities and blasphemies showed up on the ceiling of the parents' bedroom, written in indelible red ink. More astounding still, as everyone watched, the wallpaper began to peel off the walls, one sheet at a time, revealing foul language and blasphemies again written in blood-red ink on the wall underneath. Pictures not only moved on their own now, some of them began to smolder and break into flames. They had to watch constantly to put out fires. Dollies or doilies and towels and scarves would suddenly ignite, and then flaming hurl themselves at someone in the room. I can't keep reading this. Are you guys going to quit because you think you work for a nut? Just don't quit on the day before the 15th, or worse than the devil will come after you. The fierce activity continued into the weekend. The Warrens canceled all commitments so they could stay with the Donovans until Father Jason's return on Sunday. Meanwhile, Father Jason's coming back. Meanwhile, the rampage continued unabated. In the downstairs rec room, heavy recliners floated up into the air, drifted to the middle of the room, then piled atop one another in ostensibly sexual postures. Now that one kind of leaves me. I don't know how recliners can get into sexual postures. The eye of the beholder, I guess. Eventually, am I boring you? Well, don't hang up on that. Let's go. Eventually, the rest of the furniture floated to the same area, then dropped haphazardly to the floor. Upstairs, the wallpaper continued to peel itself down, exposing the hateful sentiments of the demonic, and throughout it all, fires started spontaneously, requiring everyone to be on guard to prevent a sudden conflagration. That's why it's so hard to keep reading with stations joining me every few minutes. People just tune in and think, what is this? Do you believe all that? Every bone in my body says, no, I'm a trained academician. I don't believe these kind of things. But the reporters are believable people. I'm going to send Ghostbusters to try to find out. I know the Amityville Horror case, some people have called it a hoax, not people who know much about it. The movie was worse than a hoax. I know what happened at West Point. I know what I've seen in my life, particularly on foreign soil. I know this could happen. Oh, I know the temptation of Jesus is a vision. My Bible says he was carried to a pinnacle. That's levitating. Anyway. By Sunday, when Father Jason returned, it was apparent to Ed and Lorraine the fury could be stopped only by exorcism. Ordinarily, a priest does not need permission to exorcise a house. However, The Exorcist had just been released as a movie, and the church was extremely sensitive to criticism at the time. Therefore, the priest's instructions from Father Sullivan were explicit. to be able to support your request for exorcism with documented evidence of supernatural activity. The Warrens had anticipated this paperwork complication and were already collecting the necessary evidence by the time the priest arrived. The bulk of the work would still have to be done by Father Jason, though. The Warrens, unable to postpone other important commitments to people involved in other cases, had to leave that night for upstate New York. Therefore, the priest would again have to remain in the home to interview the family and list all incidents of phenomena that had occurred while keeping a record of the ongoing activity now taking place with even more force and violence. A priest must witness it, provide evidence of supernatural activity going on sufficient to convince his superiors before the permission to be granted. On Monday and Tuesday, April 22nd and 23rd, Father Jason set about documenting the activity. I've got to read fast because they're going to leave us in about 12 minutes from some of the cities. On Monday and Tuesday, April 22nd and 23rd, Father Jason set about documenting the activity. Assembling a personality profile of each member of the family, the priest came to see the human cost of a diabolical siege. Perhaps the worst affected was Ted Donovan. Right from the very beginning, every sound, every movement had filled him with fear that rose up from the soul itself. He could not, moreover, bear the thought that his home was now apparently the abode of the devil. How inconceivable and how unwanted it all was. Tired, humiliated, and emotionally spent, Ted Donovan was also physically ill with a painful ulcer for which he took expensive medicine. Even though he kept the pills hidden, the medication was found dumped in the toilet every morning and he could no longer afford the luxury of renewing the prescription. He had not been able to work in over a month and the ongoing expenses of damages and repair men was now eating into his meager savings. Internal oppression can be seen as a building process, Ed explains. When it starts out, it's basically a stimulus-response situation. That's why, you know, when the scenario around you starts working on you and tearing you up, that's the purpose, to break you down eventually. When it starts out, it's basically a stimulus-response situation. The spirit stimulates a particular emotion, say depression. If the person responds to the impulse, then the spirit stimulates it again and again. If the person keeps on responding, then eventually that emotion will be accentuated so often and so intensely until one day there's either a breakdown or a catastrophe. It'll do that with hate. Just mindless hate. It'll do it with fear. Just mindless fear. Many times the individual won't even know he's being programmed to destroy himself because oppression can be external as well. So while the spirit is turning internal depression into deep despair, it's diverting the person's attention to his $1,000 hi-fi set that's levitating in the middle of the room and about to crash to the floor. Ellen Donovan had reacted on a more personal level. Why was this violence, destruction, vulgarity, and hate permitted to go on? For their whole life, they'd worked to build a good home and raise a proper family. They and their children attended church every Sunday. With tears of anger, Ellen Donovan asked forcefully questions to which there were no ready answers. Is this the devil at work? Then where is God? Is it just for our whole home to be destroyed because our... Is it just for our whole home to be destroyed because our daughter used a Ouija board? I'm sure the citizens of the Gadarene village would ask that question as the demoniac terrorized them. And I'm sure there were some very sincere Jewish believers going to the synagogue in and around Capernaum, and yet there was a demonic possessed member of that synagogue. Every time you open yourself to any association, we're as strong as the weakest link in the chain when it's a tight relationship. Father Jason sympathized with Ellen Donovan. His questions required a reply, however, and the priest was forced to answer her through the words in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. Let there not be found among you anyone who immolates his son or daughter in the fire, nor a fortune teller, soothsayer, charmer, diviner, or caster of spells, nor one who consults ghosts and spirits or seeks oracles from the dead. Anyone who does such things is an abomination to the Lord. Now, I'm not wanting to lay the Old Testament on you. This is the Catholic priest doing that. The more important thing is the fact that that was in Deuteronomy 18 in the Old Testament frame is proof positive that in that day God was trying to give them a law that would protect them against the invasion of these super preternatural forces. People in oppressive situations, says Ed, often ask, why does God allow this to happen? Well, God does not allow it to happen. People allow it to happen. Not always. I'm not going to take the pat answer that Ed gives. God gives you the... Neither God nor people allow it or cause it. There's a war going on, and Satan just takes any opening he gets and moves in. What God does is not, because the war is of that nature, necessarily keep it all from happening. He gives you the instrumentation and the elements and the laws of the Spirit and faith to stop it when it does start happening. Which is why you need to be taught, not dumped on, yelled at all the time. The demonic spirit has to play by the rules set down by the Creator. That is true. This is why its actions and behaviors are so devious. The demonic cannot directly interfere in human affairs. But people have to play by the rules too. Therefore, when an individual violates the rules through his own free will, he is then on his own. Even so, the powers of the demonic are theologically, at least, limited to temptation. In other words, the demonic spirit cannot make you do something against your will initially. But it can influence you to commit actions you mightn't ordinarily do. This is Ed talking. These are his conclusions of many years. Not all of his conclusions are shared by every theologian, including me. Nor can the demonic oppress you beyond your ability to resist it. Yes, that's a too generic a term. He can oppress you beyond your ability to resist it if you're resisting it in the wrong way. He cannot oppress you beyond your ability to resist it in the right way. God's given you power over demons His way. Cosmically, you see, the demonic spirit can only come so close and no closer. That's true. But just as people break the rules, so does the demonic. In the Donovan case, the infesting spirits went too far. They broke God's law. Well, He doesn't tell us how yet. And it could be that being Catholic, he's reacting to the way he treated the Catholic elements. The demonic spirit went too far when it touched any of God's creation. But God has given protections. The effect of the horrendous disturbance on Brian was hard to determine. This is the profile sent to the superior by the priest. Being 15, the boy was sensitive and impressionable. Before the episode, he had been outgoing and gregarious. But the middle of April 74, he was traumatized, quiet, and reclusive. For his own good, the boy might have to see a psychologist. Patty displayed a range of emotions from guilt to indifference. Often her behavior was defensive. On occasion, she would become hostile and lash out at anyone around her. She was a definite candidate for possession, which hadn't happened yet, and the circumstances were ripe for that to happen. All the while, the phenomena kept up as usual. Before leaving, the Warrens had taken Father Jason aside. There are a number of entities in the home, Ed told him, but judging by the intensity and power of the phenomena, we suspect the disturbance is being caused by more than demonic powers. There's the distinct possibility that a higher diabolical entity is involved, possibly having been drawn from the retreat house where it could have sought to victimize the monks. If so, you might observe some sign that would alert you to its presence. The sign occurred on Tuesday night as Ed and Father Jason spoke on the telephone. Now, he's drawing a distinction between devils and demons. There's only one devil, biblically. Many demons. But they have hierarchies. Let's go along with the distinction here. One curious aspect of the diabolical siege. Only the most menacing and blasphemous of entities would dare to act in this respect. As Father Jason was speaking on the phone, the Spirit acted. That was it. Ed told Father Jason to get the family out of the house and stay away until he and Lorraine got back from New York on Thursday. With that, everyone packed up and left immediately. What was that act?